Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the year-end show, Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Happy everyone. Happy almost New Year to everyone out there. I know it's been a while since we've been live coming at you, but excited for today's show, our year-end show. And I think we have some exciting announcements coming forth here in early 2021. So really looking forward to today's show, Bruce. How was your, before we get into it, I have to ask, I mean, I obviously stay connected and updated with you via Facebook, right? Seems like that's sometimes the world we live in these days, but how was your Christmas holiday with the family and whatnot?
It was good. My family that now lives half down Denver, so I get to drive a Zen out, drive the panhandle, and lead another smart life once I'm in the panhandle. No, it was a good visit, and it's always glad to be with family, particularly in a low COVID environment out there in the middle of nowhere, north of Amarillo. So pretty safe pickings out there in the country, and so. But it was. How about yourself? It sounds like you were enjoying touch base with mom and dad and all that.
Yeah,
Dream House. So yeah, tell our listeners about that Westlake Dream House. That was.
Oh man, I can't believe how much it's just exploded out here. I mean, I was last out here in May, so not that long ago, but, you know, even then didn't really explore too much. So it's been good to be home for the holidays. So we had a great holidays. Thanks for asking. And for me, you know, I left the nest, we calculated it was like 13 years ago. So I haven't spent more than about a week, you know, or so out here for quite some time, other than my little extravagant adventure, you know, earlier in the year. So it's been good. You know, Pops and I, I'm just trying to spend as much time with mom and dad and obviously brother and sister as I can. So Pops and I have gone to a couple of the Dragon football games because they're in the playoffs. They're right in the thick of the playoffs. And that's been fun. A little bit different weather than I've been used to out in California, where I was spoiled, I'll have to say. Right. But fun nonetheless. And to your point, you know, just the explosion of growth out here in the DFW Metroplex is really remarkable. I mean, Westlake, North Fort Worth, all growing like weeds. It is a great area if you're, you know, whether you're corporate or non-corporate, you're starting your business or you have a business and you're looking to relocate the business. You know, Texas, obviously Florida and some other states are really positioned well in terms of, you know, business advantages to the business owners and the executives. So it's nice to be back here. Nice to be, you know, focused and you know, I'm ready for a strong 2021, Bruce.
What do you make of the life? Elon Musk, Oracle, to Austin, and the teeming hordes, the exodus out of Cali, or is that just something that's a bunch of Fox News fodder? Are you seeing a lot of that?
No, it's real. It's very real, Bruce. And so to all the listeners out there, if you follow, you know, business, which hopefully most of you do, because we're obviously a coaching, entrepreneurial kind of, you know, podcast, the businesses are just flocking to, you know, flocking to Texas. And it's funny because when I was, you know, I've obviously recently moved back to the Metroplex as of about a month ago, a little less than a month ago. And, you know, it was funny when I was looking at different ways of moving back, you know, obviously, naturally, one of the first things I looked at was, you know, U-Haul, right? And just kind of getting a U-Haul and possibly, you know, towing my Tesla or something behind it, something to that effect. But I kid you not, Bruce, it was literally probably like $5,000 to rent a U-Haul to go from California to Texas. And just for shits and giggles, I looked at what the opposite was from Texas to California. And it was about a tenth of that. It was about $550. So that's, you know, pointing to complete supply and demand, economics, you know, 101, right? You know, that's it speaks volumes about how many people truly are flocking to Texas right now from California in drones, for that matter.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm glad to be here, and it's just not for our listeners, either a popular spot, Florida, Idaho, and Nevada, possibly parts of Michigan, but certainly some of those other have that are very friendly to business, and well, just that is just an interesting geographic note. But it's glad to have you back in the metro. Stay back home. I guess I don't know if you fly home or back to the nest area. How's that?
Yeah, the nest area. There you go. Yeah, it's good to be back. And, you know, for our listeners out there, Bruce and I wanted to do a end of year special show, right? So to me, end of year is a perfect time. And we've talked about this at junctures throughout the year, this past year of 2020, especially with advances of COVID that have been going on. Which, by the way, I don't know if you've been tested, but I did a quick but pretty effective at-home test. This was a couple weeks ago and came back negative. So I am COVID clear, proud to say. You know, end of the year is the perfect time to be planning for the next year, right? And actually, you know, if you're really on top of things, you probably should be doing it more in like the November, early December timeframe. But since we've obviously had some, you know, rerun shows of late, we wanted to come at you with some nuggets of wisdom and truth. And just as you look ahead into 2021, what are some things that you can be doing to plan for the future? And then I think we'll leave some time at the end here to make some, we'll call them special announcements about what's to come in 21 as well, which I'm excited about. And I know you probably are as well. So, and let's just play a little, you know, ping pong here, Bruce, right? I'm sure you have your own mantras and your own end of year planning that you do. So I'll maybe just start out and give one to our audience and then kick it over to you. Maybe you can give one. We can play a little ping pong here. But, you know, the first one I say in terms of end of year planning, as you look ahead into the next fiscal year or calendar year, is writing down your top three must-do imperatives. And I call them imperatives because these are things that without a doubt, without reason, without, you know, just 150%, you must do these, right? There's a difference between goals and imperatives. And when we're talking about imperatives, especially end-of-year imperatives looking into the next year, these are things that without a doubt you must do. So for me, you know, a couple of mine, or at least I'll give you one off the bat, is fiscal plan, right? As you look at out into 2021, and especially for a lot of our listeners out there, hopefully they've been taking good accounting, you know, of their business if they're a business owner, or if they're a corporate employee, hopefully they've done some form of financial reconciliation to be fiscally responsible. And now more than ever, I mean, it's great that Trump signed the bill last night and all, but I don't know about you, Bruce, but I'm not really counting on that $600. And I don't know that $600 would do much more than maybe groceries for a couple weeks. for me. So, you know, when you really talk about fiscal planning and fiscal responsibility, that to me is one of the cornerstones of planning when you look out to the next planned calendar year. So that's kind of my first one, is fiscal planning and fiscal responsibility. How about you? What's one of those imperatives for you, Bruce?
Well, it's a longer answer. One thing that I did is I do my daily plan from 20, and I went through every week meticulously. And as I went through every week looking at what I did today, if there was something that I didn't get done, I'd just write that out on a separate sheet. Look at the next week, look at the next week, on and on to 52 weeks. And then there's kind of sheet of bullets of things that either didn't get done. It's not about a priority, but the priority to look at what I think I didn't get done in. And so, and then from there, prioritize, right, moving forward into 21, what I'm going to do. So, one shameless plugs. This shirt, me and you took a picture in the shirt a while back. We had a special guest here. Brother, I'm 21 years old that day.
Wow.
I am 21. Wow. I look like that. So one of the things that I did was lose weight. So now I'm going to gain it, but in a constructive way, like John did in 2018.
There you go.
So anyway, to round out that bullet point, one is catalog things that didn't get done, but kind of celebrate the ones that did get done. And you know, I can sit there and hang my hat on, drop 21 pounds, you know, I feel better. Sadly, at my age, you don't necessarily look better. You have Botox and filler. But living here in the bubble, man, like, what happened to you? You look 10 years older. I'm like, are you? Anyway, that's one thing, is go back and take a look, and that helps. Prioritize for the next year.
Well said. So is it safe to say we could kind of bundle or lump that entire sequence of activities under a category we'll call maybe health or health and wellness?
Sure. I mean,
that's so far, folks, we have financial or finances, and we have for Bruce, health and wellness as a number two. Here's a number three for you, and it might come as a for some of you, you're not exactly probably putting this at the top of your list, but we all have these six driving needs, right? Everything from security and variety to personal growth, contribution. And believe it or not, you know, one of them as well is love and connection. And so I'm going to share that, you know, one of mine, and this is a constant one for every year, but is around the romance category, we'll call it, or love and connection. And this doesn't have to be truly romance through and through. We're not talking about only your romantic relationships, but there is a bit of an emphasis on that, because at our core, at our subconscious level, folks, we are hardwired to desire love and connection. That's love and connection. Could be, you know, more of the love that you receive from your family, from your friends. But that's also the love and connection that you might receive from a loved one, a spouse, a partner. So the third one I'll share is, again, love and connection. You know, both with your friendly and your non-friendly romantic relationships as you look out to 2021. Bruce?
So, yes. Also family relationship as well, right? I mean, for those folks that are already in the midst of connected relationships, on the romantic front. There's issues and seeing what kind of goals you have. I know I have two children, 19 and 23. And, man, you know, as I'm sure your parents will attest, there's no, anyway, there's no autopilot when these kids turn adults, or let's say they're in their 20s. The parenting still continues, and the parenting kind of changes shape. The relationship has different contours, and so it's kind of interesting to see how that relationship develops. It does grow, but it just grows in a whole different way. And so anyway, so I think that's another thing to look for in the new year. I mean, with COVID, we've been, you know, quarantined together at close range. President-elect Biden was talking about the darkest days of COVID are ahead of us. I can only imagine what that could mean. Don't know what it does mean, because the future hasn't happened yet, but I'm thinking, oh, wow. So again, it just, our relationships, not only our personal and romantic relationships, but also our family relationships are going to continue to be very important. And just seeing you and your dad at that ball game is kind of funny, because you said the word pops, and then my 23-year-old put a picture up saying Pops came to visit me. So I like that. I'm assuming Pops is a term of endearment, right, Justin?
Okay. Yeah, it is. It is a term of endearment. I didn't start calling him Pops until a couple of years ago when I noticed that he was starting to get the grays. And then I said, you know what? He's no longer dad or father. He's now Pops, because he's entering that phase of life where, you know, grandkids could become a very real thing, whether from me or Jake or Jessica. Obviously, he's probably the closest to having children. Believe it or not. So yeah, it is a term of endearment. And by the way, you got to see Ralph, you know, these days. He actually grew his beard out. My mom was like, yeah, looks good, actually, I thought. Yeah. But he hasn't had a beard in probably, or any facial hair in probably 20 plus years.
Because you're calling him, it's probably because you're calling him Pop, trying to get an upgrade back to dad.
That is the case. So, but yeah, term of endearment, and you know, it really just speaks to his wisdom too. That's the other thing. I wanted something to sort of inspire him, you know, in terms of his wisdom, and also as a memento for me to, you know, be reminded always to pay attention to the wisdom that he has offered. All right, folks, we're moving along to the next one. So, for me, the next one is a very important one, and this is one that I don't think any of us spend enough time at, but that is truly, you know, I say, as John, you know, to use the words of John Maxwell, and one of his 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, which is the law of the lid, which is, you know, we'll never grow, or I should say, the amount of wealth we create or the level of income we achieve is only going to be at our level of personal development that we allow for ourselves. So said differently, if you're not constantly striving for growth and growing every year, you're basically staying stagnant, or you're probably dying, as we like to say in the personal growth and development world. Your ability to grow your level of income, right? Think about it this way. You know, folks like Mark Zuckerberg, and obviously we talked a little bit about Elon Musk, you know, earlier. Do you think these guys have a simple or base level of knowledge, or do you think their level of knowledge is way through the stratosphere? And the only reason it's that way is because they're constantly investing in themselves. They're reading. Readers are leaders. We know this, right? So for me, the next one that's of importance is personal growth and development. Said simply, listening to a podcast like this every week, very important to that, right? This is one of the reasons why we constantly are trying to bring you value each and every week, right? As listeners out there, And it's very, very important. And if you're not listening to us, find a podcast that you resonate with, right? Listen to someone, read something, even as you're going for the day, and maybe to close your day or encapsulate your day. I like to say the bookends of the day should be positive, you know, positively influenced, right? Whether you choose to meditate to get yourself in that realm, or you choose to read a quote, the Bible, a book, whatever it is, do that. Right. Do that to get you in the right frame of mind as you start and close your day. So personal growth and development. Bruce, we'll turn it back to you.
Right. And the next one I would say would be no shortcuts. I don't think even the Zuckerbergs and the Gateses of the world, they earned, you know, they had probably some gifts and talents, make no mistake about it, but they also executed. They executed and performed. I think of our friend Jeff out in Arizona and his coaching business. That guy's working his tail off, man. That guy's busting his ass, putting content out there. Other folks that I've seen that we've had on the show that are really kind of working hard. And so not only, you know, by taking in and growth and development, but also, you know, it's like going to the gym, you know, and get those steady gains. And that requires work. It requires effort. Hey, sometimes you're going to make a mistake. You're going to get jammed up, or it's not going to go well, but you can, you know, make a course correction. You can learn from that. Myself on that federal consulting stream really went out there on a limb and had a YouTube channel producing the content to an algorithm, and it was so unnatural for me. It was so unnatural to do these videos so often, you know. And then I just got something in this like, hey, it's almost like YouTube's running a special if you do a series of 58 second or less videos and you space them out and this and that, you know, there's some sort of algorithm and it goes up. Well, lo and behold, I bust my butt on those things and I did get some returns on them. I mean, several callers said, hey, I saw your YouTube channel, this and that. And it's really interesting. And I'll get off that, but it was a lot of work and it produced some quality clients, if you know what I mean, in terms of higher paying clients. Now, if you look at my views and you look at the subscribers, it seemingly looks like an underperforming channel, which it is. If I was some sort of influencer, which I'm not, it's just a content specific area. But God Almighty, that thing, when it produces, it produces. And it's kind of like a trot line. You know what that is, Justin? A trot line is where you string a line across a lake and it has like 60 hooks on it. And every now and again, a big catfish or somebody, right? And you go in the morning and the line is going up and you think, all right. So anyway, that's what it is to me, is this technical trot line on YouTube. So because there's new consumers enter the space and, oh, I just saw your video and they sound so happy. Like I just shot it yesterday. And I, you know, I have my poker voice. Oh yeah. Well, I'm so glad you saw it. Hey, how can we help you? And, so no shortcuts, folks, man. I mean, and I used to bag on millennials and they're too old now. So I'll bag on the Z's it takes work so don't be afraid to work. But you know what? If you do work, you'll be surprised at the return you get. Rant over. Justin.
Yep. So no shortcuts, folks. Straight from the man himself, Bruce Cameron. And just to echo that before I share my next one, you know, my dad used to say, and well, he still says things like this, to me. But growing up, I can remember one of his sayings was, you know, there's no escalator straight to the top, or elevator escalator straight to the top in life, right?
which is basically his way of saying there's no shortcuts. And as much as we'd love to believe there's a quick fix or a get rich quick scheme, there isn't. I can promise you this with almost 100% certainty that the people that are creating wealth that you admire out in the marketplace, they didn't create it overnight. It's all the life experiences that they had leading up to that. And then guess what? Yeah, maybe they made a decision. They finally implemented their idea. And, that was that for them. So
just to, further animate what you were saying, Bruce, about, no shortcuts in life.
And
so
let
my next one here. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to kind of go one of me, seeing you, not seeing you, whatever. Watch you grow and develop your nation, right? DeGrazio, your book, your subsequent role in various companies as a developer and a consultant. And now, just seeing how you have amassed all this experience. Right. And what that does, it's kind of excited for me to see that's old for you. An older guy like me can rest a little bit. I was this, I retired from that, I'm an ex-peer, I'm this old sage. And all I'm doing is rebranding. I'm using technological mechanisms to retell an older story, right? Hey, did you know that back in the day I was Bruce Cameron? Like, really? I just saw your YouTube video. Tell me about it. Okay. Anyway, but I really like, conversely, I like what you're doing with yourself. And I want to encourage, our viewers and listeners that are in that, you're not necessarily mid-career, but how would you call yourself? Early mid-career?
I definitely don't consider myself mid-career because I'd like to think that I have a lot more career left in me.
Sorry.
I don't know. I just say I'm still, I don't know. That's actually a really good question. I've never really thought of it that way. So that's something maybe that I should reflect on and think about a little bit. But I guess to your point, early mid-career maybe is the best designation of it, whatever. But to your point, and thank you for the kind words of support and encouragement. It hasn't been easy. And I'll just share this for our listeners out there, a little bit from my personal story to Bruce's point. I did things basically the way that you shouldn't do things. And what I mean by that is, if you talk to even someone like my dad, pretty much any of the baby boomers, they'll tell you, you go to school, get a good education, get a good job, work that job for as long as you can, work up the corporate ladder, and then maybe later in life, you can start your own thing. And that's what my dad preached to me. And I have had several people reach out to me recently and they said, what was your track record, or what was your trail to success or to starting your business and this and that? And I tell them straight up, it was not an easy one. It was one filled with failures. It was one filled with heartbreaks, a lot of burning through cash and capital that probably could have been avoided. But it's also those experiences in life that helped make me the entrepreneur, the consultant mind that I am today. Because I'll tell you one thing, you only have to fail a couple times before you get your shit together and you figure out ways to make shit happen very, very quickly, right? And that was my case, right? I hit a glass ceiling when I was in corporate America at Cisco. I had an inner inkling that was driving me to say, hey, you know what? I feel like I can contribute to this group of people out here. And I called them intrapreneurs, hence my book, Intrapreneurship, that are like me, that are inside of corporate America, but they have more to give than just what the role defines them to give, right? Google calls that net time, by the way. They actually leave 20% for their employees
to go and work on outside projects that are outside of the corporate context of what they're supposed to work on. And the reason why these companies like Google and others are doing that now is because they recognize, especially among the some Gen Xers, but I'll say mostly the millennials and the Gen Zers, they don't want to do it the cut and dry way that the baby boomers did it for all those years.
And they're just not gonna...
Yeah, they're just not going to put up with it. So I'd like to think I maybe am a little bit of a pioneer in regard to, you know, entrepreneurs within the corporate context. And so, you know, I decided to leave in 2014. And I started by writing a book. It took me about 6 months or 6-7 months to write it and self-publish it. And that was my credibility piece, right? Because one thing I learned through all the personal development training that I received from Tony Robbins and others is that you either have to have a shit ton of capital, you have to have a crazy good idea that is just unique to you, or you have to have something that makes you an expert authority, right? A credibility piece. And so I chose obviously kind of the latter of those three options to get my career as an entrepreneur and business owner started. But I'll tell you folks, it wasn't easy. The first couple of years I was not turning a profit. I was probably burning through more, I know I was burning through more cash than I was making, but I had the self-belief that I was not going to give up until I did turn a profit and until I did create some level of wealth through my business. And, you know, I'm obviously very proud that seven-year anniversary will be in March of this year for In Good Company. And even though it's morphed and it's morphed into different things and different businesses over the years, which I would say to any of you entrepreneurs out there, don't be afraid to morph. Don't be afraid to transform. Because I'll tell you what, a lot of the entrepreneurs out there that are succeeding, that are staying alive in today's world with COVID, they are transforming on the fly like that. And it's something you have to do. To Bruce's point about having some consulting opportunities, I'm very fortunate and blessed that I was able to crack through a couple. And I would say you just have to be so hell-bent on making and succeeding that your desire to succeed outweighs the level of rejection you're going to get.
Or fear.
It's like baseball. Yeah, or fear. It's like baseball, right? Especially in business ownership, you're going to fail more times than you're going to succeed, more than likely. The best baseball hitters in today's world, you know, out in the majors today, they're failing 7 out of 10 times. They're striking out or popping out or whatever, 7 out of 10 times. Mm-hmm. But the 3 out of 10 times that they're, you know, hitting a double, a triple, a home run, they're considered an all-star. And that's kind of how it is in you know, the entrepreneurial world too. So I know I kind of got off on a tangent there, but I thought it was helpful to provide a little bit of color commentary around what it really takes. I mean, to your point, you can't give up, right, Bruce? So keep that in mind. All right, moving along, because there's a couple more I wanted to personally share, and then I want to make sure we leave time to share some of our exciting announcements for 2021. The next one is fun and recreation. Okay, so what do we mean here? We mean everything outside of your professional work environment, right? We're talking about what do you do for fun? Do you go work out? Do you go hike? I know for me, I love to golf. Golf is sort of like my sanctuary. It's my zen. It's something that's outside of the professional context, although sometimes I have done it for professional reasons over the years. But for the most part, now I do it for fun and recreation. It's my space away from career. So I would encourage all you listeners out there, figure out what that thing is for you or those things. Hopefully you have a couple of them that you rotate in and out. And figure that out and make sure that is part of your daily or at least weekly life. So important. Burnout is real, folks. Burnout is very, very real. And if you don't allow that time away from work, you're going to burn out. So, and believe me, take it from me. I've been there. I've burned out a couple times because I wasn't allowing for that space outside of the work environment. So fun and recreation is my next one. Bruce?
Yeah, if you think about the word recreation. It literally means recreate. And that's what we're doing, is we're taking that time to kind of regenerate and recreate and heal from what we're doing. And so that recreational activity, the old Stephen Covey, sharpen the saw or something like that, I think it's what he called it back in the 90s or what have you. But yeah, whether that is, you know, playing golf, exercise, lifting weights, for me, it's at the hardest course. I like to travel. So if I'm going to a new place or whatever and eating the food and taking in the sights, that's really fun for me. I think, you know, we have to have that piece of recreating. And that also then, once we come back from that recreation, we're sharper and maybe a little bit more focused and centered, and we can get back to our grind or to our goals.
Nuggets or hairy goals or whatnot as you look into 2021?
The other one that I would add, you know, is be patient. You know, patience is virtue. And with so much going on in our world that's outside of our control, whether it be, you know, who wins the Senate, what the president-elect will do, what the future holds for the markets, what does business look like moving forward? And so just try to, you know, stay focused, but also be patient, because, you know, nothing is going to happen your way all the time, nothing. And so that can be a source of anger. It can be a source of frustration, but it can also be a source of sadness. So what I would just tell our listeners is just, it's great to have goals and to section steps, but I'll kind of go through that, because our world is changing, man. It is changing. And I know I'm sounding like some old man here, but I think Justin would agree, right? I think the landscape of things is changing, and we have to be nimble to be able to adapt to those changes as entrepreneurs. And so be patient and nimble if you can.
Wonderful. And then I'm going to kind of lump the last three that I have here for my particular list together. I'll share them, kind of rattle them off here to our listeners out there. And then I wanted to close before we pivot with just some thoughts of wisdom as you look into 2021. So the last three that I have here are, the first one is physical environment. Okay, so we're talking about the space that you work in, the space that you play in, the space that you live in, being interesting, being motivating, being a space that gets you excited to jump out of bed every morning, right? So, for example, I don't have it on right now, but you can see that there's a TV here next to me. And normally what I'll have is either motivational quotes or inspirational pictures of destinations that I want to visit. And I'll have that streaming near me or in my, you know, purview pretty much all day. And the reason I do that is because with every minute of every day or every hour of every day, I want to be inspired. I want my work to feel inspiring. I want, you know, to give my best output each and every day. And your physical environment is a very big part of that. Case in point, if you're not inspired, change your environment. If you're a family-oriented person, put some pictures up of your family nearby or where they're in view of you, right? And actually, I have my walk clothes right here. Literally, and what I'll do is literally in times throughout the day, I'll pick up my golf club and I'll just swing a couple times just to kind of motivate myself, right? Because I already mentioned that golf is one of my fun and recreation activities. So I have my golf clubs in plain sight. And if I'm feeling a little down or a little uninspired, I'll grab the golf club, swing it a couple times, or I'll do, you know, the old Tiger Woods wedge bounce, you know, a couple times, and bam, I'm locked in again, right? So very, very important as far as physical environment. The next one we've talked about already implicitly, which is business career. Not too much more to be said about that. You know, keeping that forefront of mind is very, very important. And then the last one in this compilation of
business, or I shouldn't say business, of imperatives, let's call it, for 2021, family and friends. We talked about that once under the romantic or love and connection category, but the way I actually do it is sort of split them out. I include it in love and connection, but I also include it separately. And the reason I do that is allowing for time for socialization. So that's what that is really intended for. To Bruce's earlier point, you know, I've been going, well, the last couple weeks with Pops to these high school playoff football games. And that has really provided a nice, not only recreational activity, but just activity in general, kind of separate from work. So that's my list for everyone out there. I don't know, Bruce, if you have anything else to add before we kind of pivot to some other things here.
No, I think that's a great list. We covered a lot, and I like that, because in that Maslow hierarchy needs, we get that connection first, and then love can kind of come a little higher in that. Good idea to split that connection. The connection is very important. So well done, Justin. Well done.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm going to quickly go through my last kind of mantras, I should say, and then we're going to share a very exciting update with you all. These are the 10 essential truths to upgrade your life. I'm going to quickly go through these. Get your pen and paper out, write them down, and I'm just going to quickly go through them. Number one, have a clear vision of what you want to accomplish. We've kind of been talking about this already, but clear vision is key. Number two, assessing where your health is currently at. Bruce intimated that health and wellness was important to him. You got to be clear about where you're currently at. Number three, feeding your mind, right? So I kind of talked about that in reference to personal development and growth, but feed your mind. Your mind is all being, right? It's all truth. Number four, kind of, a bit biased, but hire a coach, right? If you don't have a coach, hire a coach, find a mentor, find someone that you can learn from each and every day. Number five, bring on the right support group, right? So these are actual groups of people that you can plug into that will help develop your network further. Number six, express gratitude every morning and every night. Again, by starting and ending your day with gratitude, you're automatically putting your subconscious mind into a positive MO, if you will, and it's setting yourself up for success. Number seven, meditate for 10 plus minutes every morning and every night. Again, similar to number six, but slightly different. Number eight, say thank you every morning. So just by saying that out loud, you're actually hardwiring and changing your DNA, your subconscious fibers, if you will, just by saying that phrase every day. Number nine, acknowledgement, yourself and others, so, so important. And finally, last but not least, number 10, create something to give back. Believe it or not, the number one driving need everyone has, and especially the people that are extremely successful out there, is contribution. So find something that you can contribute to. So that is my, kind of last minute nuggets and golden nuggets of wisdom, if you will. Today is actually a monumental day for us here at the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Today is actually my last episode as Bruce's co-host here. It's a sad day, but actually a very bittersweet day, I'd say. You know, we've been going at it for a couple years here, and just with everything that I have going on in my life, personally, professionally, and other, I thought that it was the time to hand the torch off to the next person in line here. And Bruce has found a wonderful, I think you guys are going to be so thrilled with him, as far as a replacement starting here in January. Bruce, I don't know if you want to just share a couple nuggets about him and just what you are looking to do with him here in 2021 as we move forward.
Before we do that, though, I mean, it's been 2.25 years. I can't tell you how grateful I am to have you as a co-host here, that you've offered platform-wise, some of your wisdom you know, acting in large media grasp. You know, so you were trailblazer and took the little podcast that you did to a whole nother level. And you did that just, you know what I mean, just by being who you are and your personality and your set and experience set and all the great guests brought on the show, all those fantastic people from Orange County and beyond. Yep. Introducing me to the friends of yours, professional other coaches and friends, and sharing those folks. I'm just, you know, eternally grateful for that. So you're right. It is very, very bittersweet, man. Very bittersweet. And what we've been able to do organically, it's just been, I see it as a fantastic success. I wish all the best moving forward. And it is interesting because, you know, to be where the focus that you need and all that, you need 100%, you know, 200% where you're going. And so, but I definitely want you to back from time to time and check in and say hello, see where.
Yeah.
I was back in early 2018 before you were a co-host. I was reading the show summary, Justin, you know, Nimbergood, author of Entrepreneurship. And then that segued into you becoming the next co-host. So, you hold the title of longest surviving co-host on any platform.
Longest surviving. Well, thank you.
You won by decision, I think. So definitely, I just can't, you know, thank you enough. And Neil Williams will be the new co-host, and you know, he coaching a coaching perspective, more on the chemical recovery side and some self-development side, and so I think he's you know, he's gonna bring his own whatever it is to the program, and have guys like myself, it just keeps me sharp. It's like self-development for me and the company, guys like you. So again, I can't thank you enough for part of the program.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. I know we're running up on time, but just in a couple words here, you know, thank you as well. You know, I remember the phone call you gave me a couple years ago to be the co-host. It's been a great ride, a journey for sure. I'm grateful, I'm fortunate. And like I said, I hope that I left the podcast in a much better place today than it was back then coming in. And just wish you and Neil nothing but the best as you kind of transition things here in the coming weeks and months ahead.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's 1,000%, not 200. It's really, the synergy here was really outstanding and the growth and, you know, we'll kind of keep an open future and see what happens moving forward. So, but, good. I'll tell you what, why don't you go ahead and take us to the house for the last time, brother?
All right. Last show here for me. Although I will take you up on coming back on, because a little hint, I've started my next book. It's called The Golden Paradox.
Okay.
So to be continued, but that's coming forth in the future. Well, folks, we had another great episode here today on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm Justin Nimmergood here with co-host Bruce Cameron. Thank you for joining us here today. And we'll see you next time, or I should say Bruce and Neil Williams will see you next time. I've had a wonderful run and wishing everyone a happy, joyous, and blessed rest of your 2020 as we go into 2021.
Don't forget to visit Justin at nimmergood.com or myself, ConcierzCoach.net. Have a great week and a safe week, everybody.
Thank you. You're listening to Cameron and Justin Nimmergood only on LA Talk Radio.